Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I want to talk to you about how to hear the voice of God. We're going to take 4 weeks to do it. We took this subject because it's the one you asked for the most, and we're going to devote 4 weeks to it. In fact, as I really began to pray about this and look into God's word, I saw some things about hearing God's voice that, to be really honest with you, I'd never seen in all my years of being a believer. And as God began to deal with my heart to teach that there are really four pillars to hearing the voice of God. And I want to teach you about each one of those pillars. And like the legs of a table, how when it will shore up your ability that if you understand these four pillars, then when you put them together, you can have a pretty strong conviction that you've heard from God. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up with four brothers. We had no women in our house. My mom is a girl, but she never told us. And it was just, I'm just telling you, it was a house of men. And so it was not very, very good for our marital lives to come. We had to learn a lot of things very quickly and maybe not so quickly. But anyway, that's for our subject of marriage. We won't go there lest I get in trouble. So, but here's the deal. I was just a young teenager, probably 14. And my younger brother is about a year and a half younger than me. And there were four of us born in just over 5.5 years. So it was just, we beat on each other constantly. I don't know if anybody has a house of boys. Boys just beat on each other. Parents come to me and say, my boys are hitting each other. What should I do? I just says, ride that pony till it dies. They're just going to beat on each other for a while. However, my oldest brother, Nick, is demon possessed. I said that out loud. I'm sorry. He's an antagonist. Just loves to cause trouble. So he'd get us all fighting against one another. Then he'd back off and we'd pound each other. So he was doing that one day. And my father's in the kitchen, right? And we're in this dining room table, which was this kind of metal. Retro. It's retro. I'm sorry. Art Deco is like something. Hey, I'm not cultured. I married well. Just give me a break. So here's the deal. It was a metal table. And so we're running around the table because I want to try to kill him and I can't get to him. So I make the decision to jump on top of the table, to come across, to grab him, to try to just take my brother out, you know. And so the scripture for that. Anyway, when I hit the middle of the table, all four legs went boom. And the middle of it broke, and you hear this crash. Now, my father, my dad, he had this kind of brute strength, not the kind of like weightlifting strength. It's the kind of brute strength that you kind of breed animals to get somehow, okay? And my father, you know, it's summer. He didn't have a shirt on, so the fur was out. And I'm serious. My father had fur. He did not have hair. And he comes in, and I tell you what he said, but here's what it would sound like when we're prepared for this. My dad began to say, and then he grabs my brother and I by the shirts. Now, most people would, if you're going to jack someone off the ground, right, you'd do it like this where you had leverage. My father grabbed us like this and just went, boof. Boom. And then brought us to the wall and went boom. And he began to boop, 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 boop. My brother's friends who our house had constantly kids in and out of it. His friends were coming to visit him from college. They all just walked in as my father had us jacked up against the wall. My father could breathe angrily. Drags us to the steps. He didn't throw us down the steps, but he brought us down there very quickly. Then he started firing down pieces of the table. And he said this, you don't come upstairs until you're carpenters and that table's like new. When we finished the table, oh, you know, it's like particle board stuff. It's all stripped out. Well, I wouldn't have known how to fix it if it was able to be fixed. When we finally brought that table up there and sat it up, it was like this. The legs were out, the middle was bent. We brought it up there. We put like some kind of cloth over it, and it's pitiful. That table is how most Christians are when it comes to the four pillars of hearing from God. They're very insecure. They're not the particle board. It's been stripped out, or they don't know at all. So we're going to talk to you these 4 weeks about the four pillars of hearing God's voice. The wisdom of God is the first one we'll talk about today. Then we're going to talk about the Word of God, and then the Spirit of God, and then the people of God. Now, before we get into wisdom, let me just center on the people of God just for a moment. Can I say this to you, that you are not meant by God to live life alone? You are not meant by God to hear from God independently. Through the years, and it's mainly because people have been hurt in church, and I understand that, people will come up to me and say, you know, I'm not into organized religion. And I understand what they mean by that. I'm not into church. I have my own church. How do you say that's very stupid without saying something stupid? That's very foolish. Is that better to say foolish than stupid? Parents say, don't say stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. It was foolish. It's like, how many of you know we're called the body of Christ? Now, it'd be like my pinky this morning getting up and saying, I'm not into organized bodies. So it tucks itself off and goes over here, and my little finger just hops in the car and drives to church today. What happens to your little finger if it gets cut off your body? It dies. The body will live, but the finger will die. The people of God are so important. This Wednesday night, Tommy Barnett's coming. How many of you have heard of Tommy Barnett? Raise your hand. How many of you have never heard his name until I mentioned it to you? Raise your hand. Over half of you. Now listen to me. I'm bringing somebody in here who God has used to change the Christian world as you know it. There are people that God uses to bring impartations to your life. The most significant moments of my life as a Christian did not happen alone with God. They happened in places like this, when God was using a human being and they were saying something, but God said something more. Tommy Barnett was used of God to help shape this church. He's not only shaped this church, but he's helped shape the lives of pastor after pastor after pastor. If you were to talk to people like, how many of you have ever heard of T.D. Jakes? If you talk to T.D. Jakes, he would tell you a lot of who he is today is because of Tommy Barnett. Now, Tommy Barnett can't do a get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Yeah, how many of you ever heard T.D. Jakes? He's unbelievable. He's incredible. And he's just remarkable. Jensen Franklin, who I could give you a list of pastors on and on and on who have been dramatically impacted by his life. He has changed the way churches do ministry. There are dream centers all over the world today where people are being served at a level of care that is so incredible. In fact, there's one that just launched in Pittsburgh, and it's because of Tommy Barnett. I want to encourage you, make it a priority. This Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, get here. Bring your kids. There's stuff for your teenagers. Things are going on. Say, well, you know, I don't like doing church on a Wednesday night. Listen, please, do you want to hear God's voice? Then put yourself in the position where God can speak to you. I'm telling you, God has used this man to help tens of thousands, not of just people, but of leaders as well. And there is his capacity to encourage you. I'm telling you, if there's anything you ever needed in this life, in the world we live today, is encouragement. And I like to say it this way. Tommy Barnett is liquid encouragement. You will leave here and you'll be ready to attack hell with a pistol and a squirt gun. I'm telling you, you'll just say, I'm ready, baby. I'm going to tear life up. So you make sure Wednesday night, make it a priority to come hear Tommy Barnett. So today, let me talk to you about the wisdom of God. I've got a lot to share with you, so it's going to be trying to drink out of a fire hose. It's going to come at you fast, but open up your heart and let's get right into the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. The first pillar of hearing God's voice and hearing His Word and hearing His plan for your life, knowing His will, is the wisdom of God. Proverbs 4, verse 6. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire, now listen to this, nothing you desire can compare to her. That's saying a lot, isn't it? How many of you desire some stuff? The Bible says there's nothing you can desire to compare to the wisdom of God. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding than silver. What God's trying to say to you is that it's our natural inclination as human beings to try to create an environment in our lives where we are financially secure. And I don't mean going and buying some kind of island. I'm talking about just, you know, having, you know, more money than you do month. How many of you go to work tomorrow? How many are going to work because they pay you? I mean, really, I mean, you give 40, 50, 60 hours a week for your time, your skill set for money. And that's the way, that's fine. That's a biblical thing. Works in the Bible. But here's the deal. They stop paying you, you stop working. And so look, you give 40, 50, 60 hours of your week for some type of remuneration to sustain your life. And what the scripture says, wisdom is more important than if you got all the gold in the world. So the question would be, where do you find it? Listen to what in Job 28, God talking about wisdom. But where, oh, where will they find wisdom? Where does insight hide? Mortals don't have a clue. They haven't the slightest idea where to look. Boy, if our culture hasn't proven that's true. Earth's depths say it's not here. Ocean deeps echo. Never heard of it. That means you can go listen to the whales and go, ee! People are trying to decipher. What do you think they're saying? That's what they're saying. You're safe there. Just a thought, if you have them. The ocean's saying when they're going, no wisdom in the whale, okay? Just so you know, no wisdom when he's going, or, you know, flipper, and it's not, no wisdom there. They're just making noise, all right, and communicating. You don't really know, yeah. It can't be bought with the finest of gold. No amount of silver can get it. Even the famous Ophir gold can't buy it. Not even diamonds and sapphires, neither gold nor emeralds are comparable. Extravagant jewelry can't touch it. Pearl necklaces and ruby bracelets, why bother? None of this is even a down payment on wisdom. Pile gold and African diamonds as high as you will, they can't hold a candle to wisdom. So where does wisdom come from? Where does insight live? It can't be found by looking, no matter how deep you dig, no matter how high you fly. If you search through the graveyard and question the dead, they'll say, we've only heard rumors of it. God alone is the way to wisdom. He knows the exact place to find it. Wisdom is the treasure above all treasures. It is critical that we understand what wisdom is. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. We live in a world today that is knowledge rich and wisdom poor. Wisdom will teach you the lesson prior to the mistake. How many of you have heard the saying, too soon old, too late smart? How many of you would love to get that? Now, some people say, wouldn't you love to go back and be a teenager? Actually, I wouldn't. But I would love to be able to be able to go back with the wisdom that I've gained from God at 55 and start at 20 with that wisdom. How many of you'd love to be able to do that? Well, wisdom is the ability to do just that. But it's not your wisdom. It's not your experience. The wisdom of God is available to you whether you're 15 or whether you're 55. Because I know a lot of people that have had a lot of life experience that still don't have enough wisdom to fill a thimble. Life doesn't give you experience. Sometimes life just gives you bad experience. Doesn't mean just because you have experiences that you have wisdom. Because how many of you have ever made the same mistake over and over again? Am I the only human in the room? All right. Wisdom is the ability to make decisions that will remove regret from the equation. Regret's a terrible thing. Wisdom will enable you to make choices. Wisdom is the element that will create the power to choose in such a way that regret will not be your kinsman when you're finished. Again, we live in a culture that is knowledge rich and wisdom poor. We live in a culture today, and this is not wrong, and I'm not against this. I think it, you know, for example, the bald eagle is protected. There was a federal statute, and then it was updated, I think, in the mid-70s, that if you were to injure a bald eagle or a bald eagle egg, that the maximum fine is $250,000. And 2 years in a federal prison if you were to kill a bald eagle's egg. Now, I don't have any problem with that. I don't know why people need to go kill eagle eggs. I mean, there's chicken eggs. Go eat them. You know, I mean, I'm not against, I love animals. I love them cooked a certain way, the best. But animals like the bald, you don't need to eat the bald eagle. Give them a break. But they're protected. But we live in a world where knowledge is rich but wisdom poor. They have no capacity to mix knowledge and wisdom. So we live in a world where they sell baby parts but protect eagle eggs. It's insane. I don't care if you're here today and you say, well, I'm pro-abortion or pro-choice. That's not the question. I don't care who you are. When some doctor is sitting over lunch, putting a bite of salad in her face, talking about the sale of a human liver taken out of a petri dish, selling it on the open market, Joseph Mengele of Nazi Germany would have been proud. Now, that all said, we have an entire political agenda that not only is not ashamed of it, they are wanting to support it. I'm not saying that to criticize anybody. I'm just saying that we live in a world that doesn't have enough wisdom to fill a thimble. Not a thimble. Well, we'll protect an eagle's egg and fine you $250,000, but then not only will we affirm you, we will fund you $500 million from the federal government so that you can sell human livers. It's nuts. I don't care what your views are in the world. That's got to make you sick. If you have any form of conscience left. Well, the issue, why? I'll tell you why the world is wisdom poor. Because the Bible tells us this about wisdom. It has a founding place. It has a starting place. In Job 28:28, he said this to the man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 11:10 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean you're afraid of God like someone's afraid of the dark. The fear of the Lord means you reverence him. It means that God is first in your life. It means that God's view is your view. God's precept is your precept. But the fear of God is not only absent in our culture. God is disdained in our culture. God is mocked in our culture. God's word is ridiculed in our culture. We live in a world today that is so wisdom poor, not because they don't have knowledge. I mean, listen, I've got two kids in college. My daughter goes to Grove City College, which I have to be really honest with you, that is a fantastic college. I love Grove City College. It actually has wisdom in the college, not just knowledge. It's a great college. Now, I'm not putting down my son. He goes to the fourth-ranked university in the nation. It's an Ivy League school, Columbia University, in the city of New York. But they are bleep, bleep, bleep. That's all, folks, crazy. Crazy. The stuff that is elevated to the point of discussion when the world is on fire and you have these brilliant minds, and they are brilliant people. And their discussions about the minutiae of stupidity that they raise to the level of discussion that it pervades the whole campus. My son goes to a university of the most privileged children on the planet, and they're all victims. Everybody's a victim. He said, it's unbelievable. This one's against me, and microaggressions, that's a new one. That if you say something that's just a... that's a microaggression. Oh, shut up. Junior, you're sitting in New York City, living right off of Broadway, going to Columbia University in the city of New York, and you're complaining? Why don't you take a little cab ride or take a little walk just 8 blocks over and go into Harlem and find real suffering? It's crazy. We live in a wisdom absolute. It is a dearth of wisdom in our culture. It is critically important that we understand that God has to be first. Putting God first is the beginning of wisdom in your life. God will not be second. Listen, guys, he will not be second. He will not be second. The wisdom of God begins to be discovered in my life when I make God first in my life. Let me say it this way. When you make yourself number one, your life becomes number two. That get you? Get that? You know, little kid, honey, you have to go number one or number two. to do number two. He said, okay. How many of you glad when number two became their responsibility completely? Thank you, Jesus. When you become number one, your life becomes a number two. Was that too gross for church? I'm sorry. Steve, I asked Steve Moore. He said he thought it was perfect. So if you have any problems with judgment, and that's a Steve Moore issue, his email address is easily found on our website. Romans chapter 12 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now listen to these words. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, or don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You will not be able to know the will of God being governed by the spirit of this age. It is impossible to know the will of God if you're governed by the spirit of this age. Now, here's the deal that every one of us are living with. We are all living in a world where the spirit of this age is pervasive against all of us, where the spirit of this age is just brutally trying to dictate the way we live our lives, the way you govern your marriage, the way you govern your parenting, the way you govern your money, the way you govern your pleasure, your leisure, fill in the blank. The spirit of this age is pervasive. The way you raise your kids. Put God first in your child's life. I promise you, if you'll let the wisdom of God teach you how to raise your kids, Proverbs is full of wisdom for raising your children. It will teach you to teach your child to put their creator first in the days of their youth right now. Because I promise you, the trophy you think is important, you will throw away and you won't be able to even find it. You won't care. You won't care about little Susie's this and little Jimmy's that. You are going to care if they know how to hear the voice of God as an adult. So you keep bringing your kids to church. You keep getting your kids to your classrooms. When you leave today, you will get a text message. And if you're not getting these, you make sure you let them know back there. You will get a text message. You will push a button on your phone. It will take you to a link. And on your way home, if you came as a couple, one of you can be asking your kids about their lesson in real time. We are going to partner and are partnering with you as parents. That's how you win the wisdom battle, is you put God first in your life. Put him first in your kid's life. Now let's real quickly get into this issue of the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world. Now you stick with me. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture, but this has a point. Stick with me. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. That's referring to Satan and his kingdom, who are coming to nothing or declining to their end. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that had been hidden and that God designed or destined, I should say, for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, referring to demonic influence, Satan and his kingdom. For if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen nor ear heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it, both his wisdom and those things, to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In other words, no man knows what's in his thoughts except that person. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now here's the key. We have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught with human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man, the man with the Holy Spirit, makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Now, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? How many of you think that's a good question? How many of you would like to know the mind of God to be instructed? He said, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. But he said, there is the spirit of this world, the spirit of this age, and your natural man that wants to take you on a course that will be contrary to the things of God. Do you want to know why people in the world make fun of people like you and me? Because the life we live cannot be learned in a book, cannot be learned in an education, cannot be learned by watching talking heads babble on television. And all of this self-importance someday is going to meet an end. But here's what I want to encourage you to do as a believer, to understand that God has put his spirit in you so that you can freely understand his wisdom, so you can have access to the wisdom of God, which is more precious than rubies, which is more valuable than all the treasure in the world, because the wisdom of God is what gives you the capacity to make real-time, everyday, real-life decisions that are infused with the purpose, the will, the plan, the character, the nature of God himself. It's an amazing way to live. He goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 18, chapter 1, verse 18. He said this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man?" This is God talking. How many of you know that day's coming for people? You understand this isn't hypothetical. You all know that no matter how smart you think you are, or whoever you think taught you whatever you think you know, someday you will be graveyard dead and you will stand before God. And when you stand before God, I promise you, it's going to be, for me and for you, all we're going to do is go, oh, oh, oh. In fact, the Bible said that you will bow your knee in his presence. And here's what he's asking. He said, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God," now listen to this sentence, "the world through its wisdom did not know him." That is a definition of the wisdom of this world. It does not retain God in its knowledge. And we are tempted every day of our life to pull off the wisdom of this world. "God was pleased," he went on to say, "through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand a miraculous sign and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Greeks. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." So as Christians, the first place you're going to be able to discover to how to hear God's voice is that you must reject the wisdom of the world. You must reject these calculated, foolish arguments that pale in comparison to the wisdom of God. And as a Christian, you know as well as I, every day of your life, you are pulled into you're pulled in your marriage every day to the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of God. You're pulled into parenting every day to the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of God. Every one of you, if you have kids that are teenagers, the wisdom of this world tells them to just, you know, hey, they're 16. Let them date unencumbered. Let them go out, hang out, come back. See you at midnight. That's the wisdom of this world. There's probably some exceptions. Maybe of all the people I've met in my life, I've met 10 people, maybe 10, not even, that's exaggerating. I've maybe met 5. I can't find anybody who dated seriously, maybe 5-6 times in high school where they were in love when they were 16 that it did them any good. Five people out of hundreds of thousands of people that I've talked to in my life. And yet parents in the wisdom of this age, what are you going to do? He likes her. Like, what? I've had moms come to me. There's this 17-year-old kid with their 14-year-old daughter. He's such a good kid. No! He's got hormones. You don't let him alone with your daughter. You keep him in just common sense stuff. Yeah, but they'll get upset. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Wisdom. Now, don't go try to turn this ship overnight. If you've got a kid dating in high school, don't go home. It's over. Can't do that. You got to turn the ship slowly. But oh, the wisdom of God. Oh, how many of you would like to have been raised in a home with some wisdom? Well, why don't you return that favor and give your kids a home with some wisdom? Let's hunger for the wisdom of God. And when we get through this whole series, I'm telling you, it's going to dovetail together. And it's my heart's desire that you have such a confidence that you know how to hear from God. But the wisdom of the world does not know God. It does not acknowledge God. In fact, the wisdom of the world refuses to retain God in their knowledge. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 28. We're winding down. And even as they, the world, did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. And this list is going to sound like the world we now live in. Being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers or backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Does that sound like the world we live in? It's because they have refused to retain God in their knowledge. Our world has refused to retain God, the knowledge of God in matters of sexuality. And it has resulted in death, catastrophic death, multiplied tens of millions of people in just the last 30 years plus are graveyard dead because of not retaining the knowledge of God in sexuality. From HIV to other kind of sexually transmitted diseases, 1 in 7 Americans today has a sexually incurable sexually transmitted disease, 1 in 7. 1 in 4 girls, 16 to age 24, has the HPV virus in her body right now. And if their body doesn't naturally eradicate it and it goes undetected and untreated, their likelihood of cervical, anal, or head, neck, and throat cancer goes through the roof. It is an epidemic. 1 in 4. I am persuaded that in the next 20 years, virginity is going to be one of the greatest public health benefits known to man. And it won't even be a moral issue. It'll be a public health issue. But God told you a long time ago, I made you for one man and one woman. And when you come together, and as often as I tell kids, listen, this isn't going to happen. But if you get married and had sex every day for 30 years, no one's getting a disease. And young men get married and say, wow, and that ain't going to happen. Just so you know. Just don't want to get your hopes up there. Okay, that ain't happening, man, all right? No. What do you believe about birth control? Have 3 kids. You found birth control right there, baby. I'm sorry. No, I'm really not. Lastly, let me say this to you. In order for the wisdom of God to be able to be experienced in my life and your life, it requires a word called dependence. Let me read this finally to you as we really do wind down. 2 more things. 1 Corinthians 1:26, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. And he's actually talking not just to general Christians, but even to those in ministry. But God chose the foolish. The Greek word is where we get the word morons. No, that's true. God chose the foolish, the morons, the things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak. It's where we get our word comatose. It's true. The things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things. It's where we get the word ignoble. Queen Elizabeth is nobility. Honey Boo Boo is ignoble. And the despised, that's the least esteemed things. And things that are not, or things that are invisible, people that are invisible to others. God chose them to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that we are who we are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is, he is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let him that boast, boast in the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to understand. A moron, a comatose person, an ignoble person, a lightly esteemed and invisible person carries one condition. They are a dependent people. God is saying, I choose people who are dependent on me. And what he's saying, if you're going to walk in the wisdom of God, it requires for you to be dependent on God. Hundreds of times through the years, people come up to me and say, I don't need that crutch of religion. Well, I don't need a crutch of religion either. Religion's a waste. But let me tell you about God. He's not my crutch. He's my life support. I don't need a crutch. I need everything from God. If there's any good in me, it's Jesus in me. If there's anything that ever happens in my life that is of value, it's because of the mercy, the grace, and the kindness of God. The wisdom of God in a person's life is defined by an utter dependence upon God, which means anything that is good in your life, you boast about God. But the wisdom of this world is defined as a dependence on self. It's when you boast in yourself. Don't ever think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Only by the mercy of God does every one of us draw our next breath. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Let me read our final scripture and we'll pray. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him your first and your best. Your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over. The wisdom of God is the first pillar of learning how to hear the voice of God. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. I thank you for your mercy that is from everlasting to everlasting, your grace and your kindness. Lord, I thank you that we are so desperate for your wisdom and your favor and your grace in our life, that without you, we can do nothing. Holy Spirit, we yield our hearts to you today. And Lord, I ask you that as we spend these weeks together in your word to learn how to hear your voice, that we would start by dispelling the wisdom of this age that is coming to nothing, that is declining to its end, that has brought nothing but harm and sorrow and loss and injury and devastation to our world. Lord, let your wisdom permeate our lives, our decisions, and our families. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, and you'd like to invite Jesus into your life, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you'd say, you know, Pastor John, I don't know what would happen to me if I drew my final breath today. Jesus paid an awful price to pay the debt for your sin and my sin. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you'd like to invite Christ in your heart, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to invite Christ in my life. Remember, church doesn't make you a Christian. Sacraments of a church won't make you a Christian, any church, including this one. But if you want to know Christ, you want to invite him into your life, you want to make him the Lord of your life, he will come and he will turn no one away. I will pray for you right where you're seated. With every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just simply raise your hand right where you're seated and we'll all pray for you right where you're seated. Do it right now and we'll pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Every head is bowed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, include me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, include me with those many that are raising their hand right now. I want to know that he's my Savior and I don't. I want to make him the Lord of my life. One last moment. Thank you. God bless you. Hey, if you raised your hand or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And he will come and he will never, ever turn you away. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.